Blog Talk Radio.
Glitches that are going on today. I am apparently going to be able to, not very well, take over for Don this morning. He had an emergency, and I'm really sorry to say that he's not going to be here with us, but I am wishing him hatzlacha in all of his endeavors, and I hope that that whatever needs to be fixed will be fixed, and it should be a refuah shleima, and I know that we're all wishing him the best. I was just thinking, before we got started, I was thinking about how we're always put in these situations where we're given choices in life, and we have to make these really weird decisions. Sometimes you have to make a decision, and you have one that's a small decision, but it's a good thing that you could do, or you're afraid that by doing that, you might lose out on something much greater and something longer lasting or good in the future. But since we're not Nevi'im, we're not prophets, and we don't know what's going to be tomorrow, what we have to do is we have to live here in the here and now, and we have to do whatever good comes our way. And I think that whatever has happened or whatever is going to happen in Mirtz Hashem, we're hoping that it will all be good. We should only hear good news, and we should hear it fast. From everybody who needs a refuah shleima should have a refuah shleima, and everybody who's looking for, something good in their life, parnasa, work, or looking for a peaceful home, a shalom bayis, it should all be granted to you, and it should be granted to you right away. I found a letter that, as you probably know, I work with an organization called Heart to Heart, the American Jewish Society for Distinguished Children, which works with special needs children and adults from birth until Mashiach. And our vision is to open a center in Yerushalayim to assist English-speaking adults who have primarily Down syndrome, that's what we've worked with my wife and I, to successfully integrate and, for example, living and learning and to work in Israeli society and to best reach their potential, their full potential, and to thus enable their families to even make Aliyah and follow their dreams. Many people do have that dream. In fact, I'd like to say hello to my beautiful daughter, Suri Goldstock, who was on the show with me a few weeks ago. Hi, Suri, and I want to say hi to her sister, Devorah Bashalea, Trabelsi, Mrs. Trabelsi now. And I will see you in a couple weeks, Mirtz Hashem. And I also want to say hello to, and to her husband, of course, Avi, who's probably hard at work, actually he's at home. Relax, Avi, take it easy. And hi to my wife, my beautiful wife, Chana Tova, of almost over 40 years this year, Mirtz Hashem. Wow, amazing. Anyhow, so what I want to say is I found this letter that was written to us a number of years ago. I'm just going to read it to you, and then I'll tell you where it came from and how it got to me. It starts out with, he says, I feel embarrassed to write a letter of recommendation for Heart to Heart. For A, surely there is no need to make people aware of the inestimable importance of an organization like Heart to Heart. It is a cause that can be described in superlatives only. It involves the most sublime and most sacred principles of our faith, such as, quote, the one who preserves a single soul of Israel, etc., etc., meaning he saves the whole world, and the greatest of all mitzvahs, pidyon shivuim, and so forth. Pidyon shivuim meaning freeing someone from capture, being captured, or in jail, and which is like one of the highest mitzvahs. You have to literally give up, you know, whatever you can to save someone who's been in jail. So he's comparing our work to someone who's been put in jail, meaning you have to pull out all the stops to help and assist. All humans are created by the Almighty with a special and unique mission in life. This applies no less to distinguished children who, as part of their purpose, remind us of that Ben Azai called the greatest principle of all, namely, this is the book of the generations of man. That's in Bereshis, Parak 5, chapter 5, the Pusuk 1, line 1, that all descendants of Adam are created in the likeness of God. All creation, descendants of Adam are created in the likeness of God. Well, that's a very interesting question, which we should return to. B, it seems presumptuous for me to draw attention to something so self-evident, especially as the spiritual and material blessings according to accruing from supporting so vital a cause exceed beyond measure any effort and expenditure on its behalf. Can one imagine greater joy than seeing those children's faces beaming with smiles of happiness and self-esteem rooted in the very core of their precious souls when noting their achievements in learning, in acquiring skills, and in sharing in their rightful heritage of Torah and mitzvahs? All I can do then is express to you and your co-workers my sincerest thanks for undertaking your holy work on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and to wish you abundant success in your continued efforts until the long-anticipated joyous day when we will all be healed, when all will be healed from their diseases and disabilities with the coming of Mashiach. That's according to Isaiah 35 and Bereshis Rabbah and 25 and so forth. Speedily in our very own days. And it's signed with personal regards and blessings, Rabbi Jacob Emanuel Shachet. First of all, I want to say that this is a man who is most beloved to us and to all of us, and he's a very special man. I want to wish him a refuah shalema in everything, begashmius and baruchnius, and I want to thank him very much for all those kind words. I must say that when you're talking about a person who is created in the image of God, Tzelem Elokim, that includes everybody that is a descendant of Adam. So there, as we've said many times in the past, there is no such a thing as a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes, and God created the world because He wanted to create a world. He had a desire to create a world. We're not supposed to have desires and taivas and so forth, but God had one, and that's why there is a world. But that desire to create a world has nothing to do with the desires that we have. Yes, we're created in the image of God in that we have desires, but we have to control them. What is a more controlled desire than to say that that Hashem created the world? What an amazing thing. Here you have an infinite existence. We live in an infinite space and time. Time is a continuum. Everything that's happening right now
has already happened and is about to happen, but it's all only happening at this very moment. And as long as we remain in the moment, then we are part of everything that has come before us and everything that is about to come. Now, that having been said, if you look up into the heavens and you see the stars in the heavens and the universe and the multiverse and whatever, we realize that we are in the midst of something that is infinite. That example of infinity, Ein Sof, something without end, as it's called in the Kabbalah, is that we have absolutely no concept. We're looking at ourselves as finite beings because we see the finite of our existence, the concreteness of what we are. But we don't really understand where we are and how we got here. If you're talking about the past, you look at the history of the universe and the history of man, just the history of man only. We see that we have a source that there's never been a duplication of human beings. In other words, the seed of man and the germination of every human being is different. Meaning that if there's no two that are exactly the same, and amongst every single individual who is created, that there are an infinite number of possibilities just amongst the potential for that individual to have been created, and then to have made it to the point where that in and of itself creates a DNA that I understand has billions of potential on each band of the cell of the, what Crick and Watson identified as the DNA. So when you think about the massive amount of possibilities that exist just for one person, imagine that for every single person who has ever lived, who is living, and whoever will live. And no two are exactly the same. No two are the same, period. That is another example of infiniteness in our world. We have several things that we're trying to put together in Eretz Yisrael for special needs children who are adults now and who are looking for. Who are looking to be part of a community, and we have I will be in Mirtz Hashem and Mirtz Yisrael, and anybody who is looking to participate in helping us develop this center, let me just do this because I noticed that I've been told that I didn't give out the information early enough in the other programs, and now that Don and I are not working together today, and Mirtz Hashem, I hope he'll be back next week, I just wanted to say that if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can reach us at www.hearttoheartamerican.org, AMERICAN.org, and there's a very convenient page. You can, by the way, look through the entire web page, and you can also, there's a secure page there for if anyone wants to make a donation. And if you'd like to make a donation in the name, with somebody's name, and you would like them to have a bracha and share and have the merit of having their name involved in this wonderful godly program that we're producing in Israel, then please feel free to do so and add the name. And when I'm in Eretz Yisrael next week, in Eretz Hashem, I will see to it that we daven for all those people, and hopefully all of your tefillahs will be answered. The second thing that I wanted to say was that you can reach us by calling 718-778-0111. That's in New York. And in Israel, you can reach me at 845-7599. And like I said, I'll be there next week. And then if you would like to send a fax, you can do that, 718-778-0443. That's in the New York office. And if you'd like to send us a letter, our offices are at 383 Kingston Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11213. And or you can, we have a P.O. box, but I'm not going to waste your time with that. The main thing that I want to say is that we have a group of human beings that whose neshamas, whose souls, and I think that if we look at the history of the world, which we were speaking about here, the interest that people have in participating with heart to heart, is that we have a group of children who are now adults that we've worked with over the course of time. This particular group that we're working with now are all in the 18 to 21 range age group, and they are now being challenged because they don't have a place to go for their social life. They don't have they haven't been properly trained because the educational system is not set up to do what it's really supposed to do. It just does what it has to do. If you look at adults, especially in New York, I mean, I can't speak for every state, but especially in New York, you see that the children who are now adults were not properly trained in terms of their vocations, and they were not properly given an opportunity to develop the right social life, and they were not properly trained to grow up and have independence, a complete independence. So parents, while planning ahead maybe for the financial security of a child, have not properly trained the child, because children who may have learned a little bit about knitting, a little bit about sewing, a little bit about teaching, a little bit about art, a little bit about learning, their creative expression has not been, in terms of drama, music, dance, et cetera, has not been tapped into. We know that, Dr. Gardner from Harvard came up with the concept of multiple intelligence. We realize and we recognize that that simple taking of the examinations and tests and spinning back the information is not necessarily the answer for all of our needs in life. Sometimes we have to have other forms of intelligence. We're not all mathematical or linguistic in our intelligence, which is basically the only thing that is tested for in the schools today, including the yeshivas. I'm not, excluding anyone. I think that our linguistic intelligence and our mathematical intelligence are the two primary concerns that everybody has in terms of being a success in life, and everything else is sort of pushed by the wayside. Now, I understand that we need to develop linguistic intelligence and mathematical intelligence in those people who have those forms of intelligence and who can develop that, of course. But there are other people whose intelligence doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be able to think through a problem and spend hours and hours working on one problem in order to come up with a solution whereby another person may be able to sit in front of an easel and paint for hours and hours and then come up with a beautiful artistic rendition of what was going on inside of them, and something that may touch the person who's looking at it, who wants to purchase it, that gives them an opportunity to share not only the creation, the creativity of it, but participate in the economic benefits of producing or utilizing their skills. Our objective today is to teach the children that we're working with now, the adults, give them, first of all, an opportunity to have a place to go where they can call home. And a place they can call home, la'asid lava, into the future, until the days when we won't have to be working at these particular jobs, we'll be able to do other things. But the classes that we want to offer in our project in Israel are improving teaching preparations to work in the field. We want to do classes on health and hygiene. We want to produce cooking classes and focus on nutrition and healthy eating. By the way, healthy eating over time has not changed at all. Our awareness of healthy eating, that has changed. We are now aware of all of the nutrients and how they are properly delivered to us. For example, I was reading an article recently about oatmeal. It turns out people who ate oats when they were younger have a lower incidence of heart problems. Well, as it turns out, one of the problems we have in our society is that everyone is in a hurry. We live in a temporary society that everything is throwaway. We have styrofoam cups and paper plates and plastic forks and knives, and so therefore so is our food instant. Add a hot water to it, voila, you've got a whole meal. The problem is that in order to do that, oftentimes it's not just a simple matter of adding water, but you have to suck much of the nutrients out of the various items in order to produce something that can sit on a shelf for a prolonged period of time and still produce certain taste factors that sell a product. And the problem here is this, that if you're making, for example, oatmeal, as we're talking about, instant oatmeal that you just simply add water to, most of the nutrition has been sucked out of it. If you want to absorb all the nutrients, then you have to take a little bit of time. Sometimes it may take up to 20 minutes or a half hour to properly cook a real bowl of oatmeal. Now, this having been said, it seems that oftentimes we're in such a hurry in our society that we overlook the small things, so that as we get older, the most important thing in our lives is our health insurance, which, you know, if you look at in America today, you see President Obama is trying to, develop a health plan. I don't fully understand all the ramifications of it. I just know that, you know, if I want to have a health plan, I want to be able to get the one that I need. What if I have taken good care of myself and I've eaten properly and I've had good hygiene and I've had a good nutritional balance and I don't need the same medical care that everyone, the majority of people need. I need the same health care everyone else has, but I'm saying that we each have to be responsible for our own health, and we want to teach that and pass that along to everyone, including the people that the young adults that are going to be part of our program. We want to teach them classes on self-esteem and creating personal boundaries. You see, a person who is a distinguished individual in our society can easily be taken advantage of unless they've been taught how and what their personal boundaries are. We want to offer classes in creating a Jewish home, including relationship issues such as dating and marriage. We've spoken often about the concept of adults who have Down syndrome having a marriage. We are developing now, we're in the process of developing an entire project that will offer a full array of services to couples who are interested in dating and marrying. Marriage is something that in Jewish law has many advantages and many rules that come with it that are not as the general society offers a marriage, and it has certain constrictions and rules to it. And the thing that we want to do is we want to provide the option and the opportunity to everyone who wants to be married, not necessarily to consummate a marriage the way you and I might think about it, but in order to have a lifelong partner, which is really what a good Jewish marriage is about. Actually, a good marriage, any good marriage, is about having a lifelong partner with whom you can share your feelings and your good times, your up times, and your not so up times. And we want to also offer computer classes. We want to offer classes to teach computer skills. Today, we live in a society that, whoops, something fell here. we want to offer an opportunity for people to have a chance to learn everything that you need to know about a computer and how to protect yourself and stay away from certain things that need not be seen and participated in. We also want to have we're going to offer field trips so that all of our participants can participate and explore their heritage in the land that they will now call home. Eretz Yisrael is rife, it's loaded with history, the history of every major religion on the earth is found in Israel, and more specifically in Jerusalem. My gosh, that little piece of real estate has been fought over by every major army, and up until today. I mean, historically, ancient times and modern times, and semi-modern times, and current events. Here's a little shetach, a little square of land that is still occupies the headlines and newspapers around the world. I mean, you have a piece of property that's settled that basically has somewhere between 3 and 6 million people, probably the smallest nation on earth, that is constantly having to protect itself and is in the forefront of making itself safe through through military exercises and through diplomacy and through political contacts all over the world. And we see that's not going to soon go away. And oftentimes Israel has had to use force to protect itself. And of course, there are always the detractors who are trying to carry out the mission of the fellow from World War II, whose objective was to completely eliminate Chas v'Shalom, Lo Aleinu, and Zichron al-Vracha, all the neshamas that were lost, that we should only see good things and we should allow the Jewish people to thrive. You know, if the Jewish people were thriving, so would the world. And wherever in the world you see that the Jewish people are thriving, that country is also thriving. I remember the Rebbe once said about the economy of America is strong because on the back of the dollar they recognize that there is a God. In God we trust. And that is a most amazing thing, because if you think about it, why would America be different than all these other lands? You know, sure, we, you know, founded the property, you know, we came here and we had to fight, we had to fight in America against everybody else to take this land. And we did it because we wanted religious freedom. But once we got the religious freedom, we didn't just ignore the fact that there was a God, but we didn't say that there was only one God that I can worship and not one God that you can worship. There is one God that everyone worships in the way and the manner in which they see fit. And that's the point. In God we trust. And once you have that, you have an economy that's successful. We also want to offer, I'm jumping back to our program, classes on physical education, exercise, swimming, music, and dance. You can't put together a physical ed program without a gym or an area to do that, or an exercise area. Yes, you can always go outside and run, but the weather, inclement weather, is not a fun place to learn how to exercise and how to learn physical activities. Swimming, that goes without saying. You need a pool. And we need a pool that's going to be heated so that that the participants are not going to have to be uncomfortable while they're learning how to exercise their entire body. Music and dance, obviously, you need a studio, a dance studio, or an area where you can provide dance and music indoors as well. People with Down syndrome are known for their creativity. So there will always be classes of teaching art. By the way, there are several very artistic individuals who have Down syndrome, adults. There's a fellow named Sohar Pick, who was raised in Tzfat, up in the northern part of Israel. where Avi Golani Trabelsi comes from. And there you have a fellow who was raised in a home. He has Down syndrome, Sohar, and he was given art lessons at a very early age. His parents recognized that he had a certain ability to combine colors and a certain innocence about his artistic capabilities. And they got him an art teacher, and they sent him only to schools where there were what we call typical people, not just in a school where he's going to learn how to emulate other people with disabilities and handicaps. And so therefore we see that his creative expression was nurtured. And he submitted, there was a call by the Dor, the postal service in Israel. This goes back to about 12 years ago. About 12 years ago. And he submitted along with about 20,000 other applicants from all over the world. They submitted works of art that were numbered, and the numbers were assigned to the names, but the names were not revealed to the judges, so that it's like a double-blind study. The judges are judging the artwork based on its artistic merit and not on the name of the artist. So whoever wins is winning based on the artistic value or artistic merit of the object they produced. So they wanted a stamp for Rosh Hashanah. They wanted a stamp that represented Sukkot, Sukkot, and they wanted one that would represent Simchat Torah, Simchas Torah. And they wanted three separate stamps, 20,000 submissions. Sohar Pick won all three stamps, and no one knew or realized that all three stamps that they had chosen were, and you can imagine, they were all weeded out, and one down to the next, and finally they got to the finals, and then, you know, the judges chose their three, and all three stamps were produced by a gentleman named Sohar Pick, who has Down syndrome. It's an amazing, amazing story. Then you have Burke. What's Burke's first name? It'll come to me in a minute. He is an actor who had his own show called One Day at a Time or something like this. I can't remember the show because it's not a program. We didn't have television. I didn't get a chance to watch it, but I've seen it in rerun. Anyhow, he had his own television show every week. It was a weekly series. It was run on a network television. It ran for 3 years, and he had a love interest or a girlfriend on the program who eventually became an actress in her own right. She's acted in several productions. These two individuals both have Down syndrome, and both grew up going to school with typical children, with other children who didn't have disabilities, and they were able to succeed primarily because their parents recognized that there was some talent that they had within them. I remember that Chris Burke, that's the boy's name, his father had an interview with him, with Chris, about his acting skills and abilities. They asked him how it was to trying to memorize lines, because, you know, every week he had to do a show and they had to memorize all the lines, and they asked him, he said it was hard. It took him a long time to memorize the lines, and they said, well, how do your parents feel about, you know, your success? And he said, I don't know, you'd have to ask them. He said it is a very unusual thing. This is a young man with Down syndrome speaking. He says, because I earn more money in 1 week than my father earns in a whole year. Now, Chris Burke had a room in his home that is loaded with all the latest electronics and so forth. And he's taken the advice of of those people who went to school who were linguistically and mathematically well endowed, and they are giving him the advice and the guidance as to how to use and invest his money. The young lady that was on the program with him went to junior college, and she was a secretary. Her father, I think, was in a law firm, and she was became the receptionist, was answering the telephone and directing phone calls to a large law firm. At that time, you didn't have the automatic system. Well, I suppose they still use this today, even with all of the latest techniques of electronics and digital direction. You still need a secretary or a receptionist to greet people when they come into the office and to answer the phones. And she was able to do that job, and her speech is impeccable. And one of the problems that people have who have Down syndrome have with their speech is that they have a small mouth cavity and a normal-sized tongue. Many people will say, oh, he had an oversized tongue and couldn't control it. No, the tongue was never oversized. Well, the problem is that people who have Down syndrome have very delicate features in many areas that we normally wouldn't want them to have delicate features. And one of those areas is the mouth cavity. The mouth cavity is small and the tongue is a normal size, so it appears to be extra large. So what we do is as infants, we work in the infant stimulation program, teaching them how to control the tongue, so that as they get older, the tongue develops enough muscle control so that when they get tired, it doesn't stick out, but it's able to be controlled in that smaller mouth cavity, and they're able to now develop the muscle. It's just like, working out in a gym. You don't start out lifting up 300 pounds. You start out lifting up a smaller amount, and then gradually you work your way up to a larger amount of weight. And here, the same thing with the tongue. The more you exercise it, the better it will perform and function. So there's a young lady that works in the in Manhattan who has Down syndrome, who works in the Disney store as a salesperson on the floor. And I know my daughter Suri at one time was talking about working in a department store like Macy's. I don't know if that's what she still wants to do. I know that she's had several different things that she wants to do, and believe me, whatever she wants to do, we want her to do that, and we want her to develop and be the best at whatever it is she's going to do. And I know, Emirat Hashem, that she will. Now, what I'm saying is that these are not children who grew up in a special ed classroom, in a special education school, what I call the warehouse system. Because those children are just put in a babysitting service where you have people who have special education degrees and the main thing in those schools is teaching behavior modification. Well, you don't need behavior modification if you're modifying talent and you're in imbuing talent and you're nurturing talent and you're creating self-expression in the areas of drama, music, dance, whatever it is that a person wants to do. They want to become designers. My daughter, Suri, has a phenomenal talent for looking at clothing, and she can walk into a store and put together an outfit for someone. She could be a professional shopper. If you are in Israel and you need an outfit, contact her. She will take you to the store and make you look $1 million. You may have been $100,000 on your own, but she'll make you look $1 million, without a doubt. She just has an eye for design and color and coordination when it comes to materials and form. Now, sewing, knitting, they're all fine forms of creative expression that we're not exploring or nurturing or developing down the road that would allow someone to do something other than put refills into the barrel of a pen with a spring, screwing it on and sitting there for 8 hours a day with a half hour break for lunch and being able to sit and schmooze the whole day, it's boring. And at the end of the day, you count the number of pens that you did, and that's, you know, look, I don't know about you, but I would probably go out of my mind if I had to do something like that. And I suspect that these young adults who are given these jobs, I'm not saying that those are bad things. I'm just saying there should be choice, and they should be allowed to participate, to volunteer, and to be part of other things, other organizations, and participate in other and developing other skills. And by the way, everyone will need time in our world to develop and provide a recreation center, which will have computers, games, theater, and a library. Yes, a library where we will work on reading skills, and we'll have professionals and volunteers who will come in and work with our adults, not only teaching reading as a recreation, but teaching reading in terms of being able to recognize signs, in terms of being able to recognize danger, and to be able to be safe. We know that there are many difficulties that need to be overcome when families, for example, want to make Aliyah. So if a person has a child who has special needs, their journey is not only difficult, but it's so overwhelming that at times it's so daunting that people sort of give up because there's no one really to hold your hand and get you through the process. This center that we envision opening, and hopefully we'll have it open in September, we're going to our plans now are to open a small facility in September and continue to work on our larger building just so that we can get our doors open. We are being inundated and bombarded with requests for families and children and adults whose parents want them to have the full array of possibility and potential so that their lives will be fulfilled. So that's what we're shooting toward. And again, anybody who wants to make a donation, please don't hesitate. Don't wait. The schos, the schar, the merit that you will get and what you will gain from this is not the giving of tzedakah, which makes you feel good. It's the giving of tzedakah because it's the right thing to do. And that is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God looks at and says, oh, this person didn't necessarily have the financial wherewithal to be able to, you know, do it, but they did it anyhow. And believe me, God recognizes this because that is as hard to do as the creation of the world. Because you're separating, you know, a person earns money in this world. It's a very interesting phenomenon. It says that when we do a tinus, when we do a fast, for Yom Kippur, for Tisha B'Av, and for other times of the year when we fast. These times we are give. Why do we fast? Because fasting is literally giving up the blood and the meat, the buser, it's the dam and buser, meaning the vitality of our physical existence. We are giving back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by not enriching it during that 24 or 26 hour period. Not with water, not with liquid, not with food, not with solids, nothing. And the idea of basar and dam, of the vitality of our humanness and our physicality, is what we use to earn a living. So money represents our vitality, our human physicality and human existence is spent on earning a parnasa, on earning a living. So that when you give tzedakah, you are creating a bond between your physicality, your existence, your spirituality, and the connection with the thing that you are giving to, which is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God is saying, this is one of the things. That's why it's called tzedakah. Tzedakah comes from the word tzedek, which means justice. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdev. You should run after, you should always chase tzedek. And it says that in the Torah, it explains to us that tzedakah is equal to all the other mitzvahs. One mitzvah is equal to performing all 613 mitzvahs, or 620 if you add the seven Noahide laws that the rabbis added that make it 620. The Taryag mitzvahs and the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, the Noahide laws, the seven Noahide laws, anyone who gives tzedakah to someone who needs to be to given an opportunity to be to come up to the level playing field that everyone else is working on, the schar, the merit that you get, the merit you gain is exponentially greater than any other mitzvah or all of the mitzvahs combined, because you're giving the essence of who you are and what you are, because you had to put that into making that parnasa. So our ultimate goal here in our center will be to, first of all, we want to provide counseling for the families and to help them on their journey, of course, as well as we want to be able to provide respite. So if a family comes on a vacation, for example, on a pilot trip, where are they going to go to put their to have their child in a safe environment where everyone will be sensitive to whatever their special needs are, and the parent can go and explore the land to determine whether or not this is something that they want? Maybe they just want to come on vacation. Maybe they want to bring their child with them, and we'll provide someone to accompany them and to provide all of those services. To have such a thing in an English-speaking environment for people who come from anywhere in the world, you come from South Africa, you come from Australia, you come from England, you come from Canada, you come from New Zealand, you come from America, wherever it is, the United Kingdom, you come from anywhere in the world, and you want to provide the best care, and you want to provide a relaxing atmosphere for the family, it's all in one location. The ultimate goal for our center is to be large enough to accommodate several assisted living apartments, and building, ultimately we want to have several centers with apartments where people who have Down syndrome or compatible disabilities or handicapable or differently abled people can live and learn hands-on in a safe and secure environment. The staff will include qualified personnel. We have social workers already, but we have, in fact, one of our social workers is also moving to Jerusalem to be with us and to participate and help us with our development and to interface with the local social workers. In fact, we're working now with a couple social workers in Israel, Israeli social workers, to help them help them with integration and absorption into the society. Psychologists and teachers and staff trained to work with special needs adult population. This is a very and most unique category. And by the way, we're also very interested in developing an ulpan that will be specifically for people who are not linguistically challenged, who are linguistically challenged, who have the need to be able to learn at a different pace and to learn with different methods. The staff, which will include myself and my wife, Hannah Goldstock, who is my Eishes Chayil and is a co-founder of Heart to Heart, and who has provided the inspiration and the foundation of everything that we've done here. And believe me, I may be the voice, but my wife is the brains and the heart behind everything. Just trust me on that one, because it's a fact. The researchers have been working in the field of special needs for the past 45 years. That's our background. Maybe actually a little more. And we have created an organization that has literally hundreds of infants that were going to be abandoned. We've worked with over 5,000 families directly over the course of that time, and we have helped them with everything from financial aid, counseling, giving them direction, professional services. We've worked with the certification programs in providing information to teachers and to assistant teachers and paraprofessionals, health aides, and we have cared for many of the infants in our own home over the years. As emergencies presented themselves, there were oftentimes, in fact, one of the little boys that we took into our home, I've told the story many times, my daughter Devorah and her brother Zalman refused to allow us to let this little boy go. He was, at the time, was a healthy, vibrant, cute little boy. He eventually got sick, but we wound up adopting him because they didn't want to let him go. And that's happened to other people who just said, okay, we'll watch the baby for a little while. And then when it came time to, you know, locate someone, I said, wait, we're not interested in giving this child away. So yes, sometimes these little people grow up into adults that have really grown on you, and you become very attached to them, and you don't want anything to happen to them. And even though, as has happened in the last couple of weeks, I've had two families that had babies that were born with Down syndrome, that they were Down syndrome, they were having problems accepting. Hard to believe in this day and age that this is still going on, but it is, because people are not aware of all of the possibilities and the potential that a person with Down syndrome can ultimately provide and achieve. Our constituency, as I said, spans the globe, and those parents who have kept and maintained and loved their children are now asking us to develop this project. I am receiving a minimum of 3 calls a day since my wife left for Jerusalem at Rosh Hashanah time. We are now in the midst of snoring. I'm begging. I'm asking anybody and everybody who will help this project, please, be as generous as you can. We need about $1.5 million. Now, I know you don't think that it's like, the election is tomorrow, I'm not going to vote because I know who everybody's going to vote for. Well, that is a fallacy. Every single vote counts. If you take a drop of water out of a pool in your backyard, if you did that every day, eventually the water is going to start going down. And that's not to say that if everyone does it at the same time and thinks that, you know, my drop doesn't count. You know, you could take a sliver out of a fence and eventually the fence is going to fall down. We have to understand that we need to raise this money. We need to develop a source of the people who care about other people. And this is a project that that will bring many different peoples together and show that and give the people who have Down syndrome population that has Down syndrome an opportunity to reach their full and complete potential and live happily, fulfilled, and independent lives. And I just want to say that before we're going to have to wind up here, because I have no idea where we are in terms of the time frame. I'm going to have to check. I don't have Don here to help me. I have Down syndrome, you know what I'm saying? I need Down here. Okay, so so we can't predict the tomorrow of a human being because we move from the abject poverty to opulent wealth on the spur of a moment. We go from hedonism to spiritual heights in a sudden flash. And we are creatures who know no bounds, with limitless power to be whatever we want to be. We get stuck but not from the shortage of power. Rather, it is from our failure to recognize the knots with which we have tied ourselves. We are the only thing that can get in our way. We are the only thing that prevents us from being successful. And a person who is born with Down syndrome is born into a situation and a setting that is rife with potential and is rife with the opposite, God forbid. And we have to think of our world as a massive jigsaw puzzle in time and three dimensions. We live in a time and a three-dimensional space. All the objects and events are meant to fit together neatly, yet they seem just a heap of dysfunctional fragments. Here is the trick, okay, to reassembling those fragments. Find your own purpose first and start moving headstrong towards it. Once in that mode, all things related to your purpose will find you. And those things already attached to you will find their place as well. Suddenly, where once noise and chaos tore you in a thousand directions, a great symphony occurs. And that's the way I would like to leave us all with that thought, that we have the opportunity now to be able to see to it that all of these people will that we're working with will have tremendous success.
Eliezer,
I want to thank Eliezer. Yes.
Hi, this is Don, and I can take a little break between one of those gums of the Tova days. This is also for the good days, and I just want to let everyone know, and I'll let you sign off, Eliezer, that Rabbi Goldsack's organization, Heart to Heart, is certainly worthy of your support and attention. And during the time that Rabbi Goldsack will be in Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, for the next month, we will, on the Tuesday morning that we normally had our first 10 tutorials, which this today was included in them, we will play the archive versions on Facebook and actively encourage everyone to support Heart to Heart America. And I've known Dr. Goldsack now almost 21 years. From the infancy of Heart to Heart, I've seen it grown from an idea in a synagogue to an idea now which is ready to spread all around the world, where everyone could participate in this worthy human endeavor, which is part of the Torah's plan for actualizing and empowering all different types of human beings. So, Eliezer, I'll let you sign off, and I'll cue off the show when you finish your presentation.
You're not going to let me finish off with the music?
No, you're going to finish. I'm getting off the line, but finished with your presentation, then I'll end the show.
So should I run the theme from here, or you're going to run your theme?
No, you're going to end the show now, and when you've concluded your presentation, you just tell me,
okay,
and I'll
I'm
end
sorry
the show.
That we're bothering everyone with all these details, but listen, please, you know, if you can, www.hearttoheartamerican.org and all of our addresses, and you can also reach me on Facebook, Rabbi Eliezer Goldstock on Facebook, or Heart to Heart, American Jewish Society for Distinguished Children on Facebook. And I want to say goodbye to everyone. I'll be back in 2 weeks directly from Yerushalayim with Don. Kol Tuv, everybody.